Starlit Review, written by Phoebop. Summary. Sasha and Marcy hang out, study, eat ice cream, and talk about anime together. Chapter 1. Star Dialogue. On a warm autumn evening, in the far corner of a California public library, the secrets of the universe revealed themselves. Or they tried to, at least. As Marcy made a connection between the size of a star and its gravitational pull, the clicking of a mechanical pencil drummed her ear. When she grasped the brilliance of cosmic life cycle, metal raked against paper. Before she even dared to dip her toe into the formation of nebulae, Adreshu tapped out the rhythm of a pop song. The noise was simply unworkable. Marcy closed her astronomy text and turned to her study buddy. Sash, are you bored? Surprise lit up Sasha's eyes, and for a moment she leaned back. Her leaned back chair wobbled on its hind legs. She was gifted with dexterity, though, so her teetering ended as quickly as her shock. Sasha popped a pink earbud from her ear and let the tones of a pop punk band ballad spill out into the world. Did you say something, Warmer? She asked, in a not quite library appropriate tone. Volume. I just asked if you're bored. It seems like you finished studying a while ago. Truthfully, Marcy felt generous for implying she had ever started. She glanced down at their shared table and sighed. Her own station was nowhere near neat, bed decked out as it was in old dusty books and covered in scattered note pages. Sasha's, though, was a bright neon disaster area. To her credit, she did have a textbook open, but it was buried under several teen magazines. She had a notebook open too, but instead of notes, she had elected to fill it with heart, sword, and diamond motifs. Marcy could even see a few bits of anime fan art etched near the bottom of the page in pretty pink ink. She tried not to let her eyes linger on one particular sketch, lest she explode. Empty soda bottles rattled as Sasha thunked her chair onto all four legs. Oh no, she said. I'm fine. Just taking a break. I've got, she clicked her tongue as she nudged a few boy band almanacs out of the way to reveal the book beneath. Math unlock. No need to overwork myself. Marcy nodded silently. She had always admired that quality of Sasha's. The ability to lie so confidently in the face of the truth. Before she could formulate a response, though, Sasha went on. I'm not bothering you, am I? Measured vulnerability leaked into her voice. I can leave, if you want. Marcy's hand shot up to bat away the notion. No, she stammered. That's not what I was getting at. I just... Good, Sasha declared, and that was the end of that. Once again, she leaned back and kicked a foot up on the table for balance. So, what are you working on anyway? She flicked the shiny nail at Marcy's book. That doesn't look like a school textbook. Oh, no, it's not, said Marcy. She looked down at the book, titled Star Stuff, and snorted. You could say it's extracurricular. While the girl giggled to herself, her companion arched an eyebrow and asked a silent question. Astronomy's one of my weaker sciences, the scholar explained, and I'm trying to punch up on it. The SAT has been casting a wider net in the science department, and I want to be ready. Sasha's confusion only deepened, until finally, her question grew audible. Marcy, you know we don't have to take that for, 5 years, right? Isn't that overkill? 4.5 years, actually, Marcy reported. And it's never too early to start preparing, she recited. We're expecting a top percentile result. Sasha digested the answer for a moment. The bewilderment never left her eyes, but something soft crept onto her lips. Marmer, I think you're going to ace that stupid thing whether you waste a night reading about the stars or not. The faintest pink tinged Marcy's ears, and she scratched the back of her neck. Well, you don't really ace, she mumbled before she caught herself. I mean... Thanks, Sash. Sasha nodded, and Marcy relaxed ever so slightly. But I just want to be sure. And this stuff is kind of interesting to study in its own right. could have fooled me, snickered Sasha, as she reached for her backpack. Reading about space cred is like the most boring thing you could be doing on a Friday night. It's really not that bad, Marcy said. The mechanics of space are fascinating, and... She knew her words were falling on deaf ears. After a moment of silence, though, the girl thought of a new approach. Studying the stars used to be a lot cooler in the past, though. It used to be, like, the most important science there was, even if it was closer to magic back then. You know, astrology. Sasha nodded along politely as he searched through her things. Really, that was all Marcy could ask for. Back then, they thought the stars had all kinds of meanings. With all the awe and showmanship she could muster, whatever stars were highest in the sky when you were born were supposed to say all these things about you, who you'd be, what you would want, your fate, basically. As hokey as the ideas were, they filled Marcy with a distant sense of wonderment as she gave them voice. That's why Romeo and Juliet were always called star-crossed lovers, you know? They were fated from birth to never be able to... Yeah, I get it, Marcy. Sasha cut in. Stars used to be all magic and romantic and stuff, she said, twiddling her fingers for effect. Marcy noticed then that her friend had produced a number of brightly colored vials of nail polish. The blonde rolled her wrist and continued. And then some killjoy in a lab coat figured out they were just balls of gas and they didn't mean anything. Marcy snorted, despite her abject failure. Well, there were some intermediary steps, and stars are more like perpetual explosions than gas balls, but yeah, that's basically what happened. Sasha didn't answer. It was no shock. The girl had a habit of drifting out of conversations she found too dry. At least Marcy had given it her best shot. Instead of talking about faithful stars, the blonde weighed the merits of three glossy finalists. Currently, her nails were an eye-catching shade of hot pink, but apparently she was ready for a change. In her palm, she examined three vials of emerald, and cyan, and glitter lace gold. She bumped off the green first, setting it down among the other rejects. It was in good company, rustled among soda bottles and printed K-pop hunks with every other color of the acrylic rainbow. Sasha's brow furrowed in concentration, then... She shifted the little bottles in her palm, turned them over and squinted at them. She tilted her hand as if to weigh them. And finally, she clutched them together and thought. After a sheer moment of sheer suspense, she finally muttered, "Sometimes you just have to be tacky." And she unclenched her fist. She set the blue vial aside and held on to the gold. It was only after she rooted through her backpack and produced a bottle of acetone that Marcy finally found her voice. "Sasha, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to paint your nails in here," she declared. She was also pretty sure Sasha wasn't allowed to drink soda, or rock back in the chairs, or put her feet on the furniture, but the line had to be drawn at chemicals. "Hmm?" The blonde wondered, with a quirk of her eyebrow. "Oh, I'll be fine," she assured, with a wave of her hand. "As long as I do it quietly, right?" "I don't think that's how it works, Sash," Marcy said, to no avail. "I really don't think you..." She tried, but her concerns were waved off. Sasha shook her bottle of nail polish remover, unperturbed. The library's favorite patron aside, Sasha had been tempting fate all night with her raucous behavior, and so far fortune had favored her boldness. But the sharp, pervasive smell of acetone in the otherwise stale air was sure to catch someone's attention. Marcy wondered what her fate would be if she were caught harboring a rule breaker. She could hardly fathom the indignity of being asked to leave. She furrowed with worry and nibbled at the inside of her cheek. Honestly, Sasha acted as if she hadn't even read the library's rules before she sat down. Tonight was the first night Marcy had even seen Sasha in a library. And if they stayed the same course, it could be the last. And then a thought struck. "Hey, Sasha, why did you decide to come here anyway?" Marcy piped up. "You said you wanted to study, but you obviously have math on lock." That was enough to get the other girl's attention. Her eyes widened for a scant second, and then she set down her bottle. Guess he caught me, huh? She scratched at her jaw and looked up towards the ceiling. When her eyes came back down, they fixed on Marcy's, and she quirked a little smile. I just wanted to hang out, Marmer. I figured these after-school study sessions you pull must get lonely sometimes. I thought maybe they'd be better with company. Oh, slipped out from between Marcy's lips before she could catch it. It was her only word for a moment. The corners of her eyes prickled, and a warm feeling washed the worry from her mind. A grin wobbled onto her lips, and she remembered her words. That's... you... And then she remembered her syntax. Thanks, Sasha. That's... well, I appreciate it. If all her stumbling was a bother, Sasha didn't show it. She beamed a smile back at her clumsy friend, and for a moment, a warm, amicable silence hung. Eventually, though, Marcy realized the nail supplies were still out, and the iron was hot. If you just want to hang out, why don't I check these books out so we can go to your place? She asked. The AC's better there, and if you want to paint your nails or carve on the tables, it won't be misdemeanor. Sasha glanced down at the underside of the table and blushed. Marcy could only imagine whose name she was looking at, with a possible note on where they had been. Sasha scooted herself closer to the edge of the table and looked down at her notebook. She twiddled with a stray lock of hair and said, I'm actually trying to avoid home tonight. My parents are doing something annoying. The edges of Marcy's smile sagged, and that warm feeling ebbed a bit. It was a foolish thing to be surprised by, in retrospect. Sasha often had more than one reason of doing something. Oh? Marcy eventually inquired. What are they doing? Planning a dinner party for a few of my dad's lame business friends. She crossed her arms in front of her and muttered, as I learned this afternoon. Marcy weighed her friend's words and asked, is dealing with business guys that much of a pain? Sasha answered with a few tilts of her hand. They're just more lame dads, really. It's their kids who are a pain. They're a whole pack of babies that I'm expected to entertain. That earned her the quirk of a thin black eyebrow. But, Sash, don't you love babies? Yeah, I love them until they learn the word mine. Her nose crinkled as if she smelled something foul. These are little rich kids I'm talking about, Marcy, from my dad's higher-ups. Her eyes glanced up at the ceiling and she grimaced, just imagining them. They're too young to care about boundaries, and they've never been told no their entire lives. They're the worst. Marcy gave a quiet, sympathetic hum. That was all the cue Sasha needed to continue her rant. Honestly, where did they get off dropping that on me on the last minute? Do they really expect me to be seen and not heard, and laugh at some crusty old dad jokes, and let a bunch of spoiled Muppets boss me around in my own house, when all I want to do is relax and start off the weekend? When she had blustered out all her breath, she refilled her lungs and sighed them half empty again. It's a total load, she continued. Oh, the epitome of a load, Marcy concurred. Things were silent for a moment. Then, like a rainbow after a storm, a little smirk arched across Sasha's lips. They're not the only ones who can make last-minute plans, though, she murmured. Hope Mom's having fun wrangling toddlers right about now. Sasha looked quite satisfied with herself for a moment. Eventually, though, she noticed Marcy's appraising eyes and the absence of her wobbly smile. She choked on spit like a gambler who had shown her big hand, and she forced a toothy smile. Anyway, that's why we can't study at my place, Marmer. Now, what were we talking about before? Probably something boring, Marcy intoned. Sasha frowned and glanced away, and that was all the grilling Marcy had the heart for. As Sasha searched for something to say, her hand inched towards the looming bottle of acetone. Marcy cut her off with a sigh. I'm glad you're still able to relax here, she said. That brought Sasha's eyes back to her. Huh? A minute ago, you said that you just wanted to relax to kick off the weekend. Once again, Marcy glanced down at all of Sasha's festive trappings. I know the library isn't the most comfortable place in the world, so I'm glad you're able to do that here. Sasha chuckled and shrugged. What can I say? There's just a nice vibe, I guess. A nice vibe indeed, Marcy surmised. Nice enough that SJMS's cheer captain felt like she guzzled high-garb soda, hum along to pop songs, and draw little anime people to her heart's content. Sasha didn't let just anyone see that kind of behavior. Somehow or another, a new smile found its way onto Marcy's face. She enjoyed the comfortable silence for a few moments as she plotted out a course of action. Remaining at the library wouldn't do either of them much good, if Saucer's daredevilry would even allow them to stay much longer. With the Waybright estate off limits, though, they only had so many places to go. As she often did, Marcy wished life tended a little closer to fiction. Anime schools always seemed to be open long after classes let out, if students needed a place to hang out. If St. James were some fancy academy or boarding school, then an epiphany struck. Marcy glanced at Sasha's open notebook and quirked a devious little grin. A plan swirled into life in her mind until the snapping of fingers brought her back to reality. Marcy, Sasha asked, what are you doing?
Spacing out, she admitted.
But I have an idea.
The blonde raised an eyebrow.
Well then, let's hear it.
Well, Marcy said, gesturing towards herself. I'm not getting too much done for some reason. She flicked a finger at Sasha. And you're far ahead of your studies. And we can't go to your place. A curious cheerleader nodded along to her recap.
So, Marcy concluded, let's go somewhere else.
Your place? Sasha guessed.
Oh, no. Marcy shot. Her hand batted the idea away as fast as it had come.
I was thinking food.
A response nearly slipped from Sasha's lips, but just then, the natural consequences of skipping out on dinner caught up to her. As her belly rumbled, she conceded.
Yeah, maybe food would be good.
Great, Marcy chimed. Let's go somewhere we can eat outside. The weather's nice, and we can use the fresh air.
Sure, said Sasha.
We could go to that ice cream place a few blocks away. The girl scooted her chair out and stood up. Then a thought entered her mind.
Is this gonna ruin your, study schedule?
Marcy snorted.
Oh, no, it's fine.
She sacked star stuff onto the pile with its musty peers and looked up at her friend.
I think you might have been right earlier, Sash. I have 4.5 years to shore up on sciences.
Her smile widened.
But how often do I get to spend a Friday night with you? Just the two of us.
Sasha found a smile of her own then. It was small and soft, and it dusted her cheeks with a faint shade of pink.
Aw, Marcy, that was sweet.
Sasha stood there for a moment longer before she started packing. She grabbed that dreaded bottle of acetone and tucked it into her bag.
Come on then, she said. Let's get going.
Marcy sprang up with an unusual pep in her step. She stole off like an undexterous rogue towards the return cart, hiding a smirk behind her stack of tomes. She could scarcely believe how well that had come together. It was a rare, rare day that she can get one over on Sasha, no matter how small the victory. She hadn't been lying when she said she wanted to get dinner with her less frequent companion, but she was leaving out her other motives. Turnabout was a fair play, after all. For one, she didn't want one of the kindly old librarians to have to throw them both out. And she had seen something interesting earlier. One of Sasha's drawings simply jumped off the page. It was a familiar magical girl costume being worn by an even more familiar girl. Marcy had swallowed the urge to draw attention to it in the name of getting things done. But if they weren't going to get anything done, then they simply had to discuss it. And if they were going to discuss it, they would have to do it in a place without noise restrictions. She was practically giddy just thinking about it.
Come on, Marmar, Don't get cold feet. Marcy once said her friend's certainly library inappropriate volume, but she got the point. She shook off her fantasies for the moment and spun around on her heel. And she only stumbled a little. She saw Sasha far ahead of her, the blonde had her backpack slung over one shoulder, and her notebook tucked under the other. She tapped a shiny black dress shoe against the carpet, but she waited all the same. Marcy hurried to their table and grabbed her own backpack. She even packed up the empty bottle Sasha had left to throw away later. Someone was absolutely going to be reading the library's code of conduct if she ever wanted to do this again. Marcy caught up to her friend not a moment too soon. Sorry, she huffed, daydreaming again. You know me. Do I? Sasha chuckled. The Marcy I know would have smashed into something by now. Marcy caught a chuckle of her own. Don't get ahead of yourself. The night is still young. And with that, the two departed the library and took to the streets. Chapter 2. Star Divine. Summary. Sasha and Marcy eat ice cream and talk about anime. The air over Los Angeles was unseasonably warm and muggy that night. The swampy atmosphere tormented in two ways. First, it smothered and stifled and begged the populace to sweat. And then, when the people grew damp and miserable, it relented and sliced them to the bone with the cold fall breeze they thought they wanted. The city wouldn't allow itself to lose to the elements, though. Its lights twinkled just as bright as they ever did. Its streets clogged and jammed for miles beyond miles with impatient motorists, and its sidewalks teemed. LA's walkways were crowded on any given day, but on that Friday night, they writhed with humanity. Giggling couples and chatting friends walked shoulder to shoulder, eager to enjoy the last gasps of warm weather with people they cared about. Tourists fresh from the plane gawked and awed, and snap pictures of everything, as if Hollywood sidewalks were any more glamorous than their own. Weightless workers floated along, silently celebrating the end of the work week, while bar-hopping drunks staggered along behind them. And through it all barged a hot pink battering ram. SJMS's cheer captain cut a path for two down the middle of the human sea. With a straight back and a set jaw, and purpose in her stride, she informed the endless torrent of strangers that they would be staying out of her and her hapless friend's way. When a man lost in thought, staring at his feet, veered towards them, she let her shoes clack loud against the pavement, and so he stopped thinking and started moving. When one rowdy high school boy shoved another into her path, she squared up her shoulders and didn't budge an inch. The fools took notice and stumbled out of her way. When a huckster approached with an overture on his lips and flyers in his hand, she cast him a glare that told him to go pound sand, and so he went and pounded sand. Marcy, for her part, simply followed along, blissfully unaware of the service she was being provided. She stared down at her shoes, and then up at the sky, and back again, humming a familiar tune. She paid no heed to where she was going. She simply followed, on instinct, like a child shadowing their mother at the grocery store. She was awfully lucky tonight. Even when she didn't have her head in a book or a game, the girl struggled with foot traffic. She minced and slid and juked and let the movements of others dictate her path. That meekness barely got her through the middle school hallways. In the bustle of the city, it would get her lost in a sea of unfamiliar faces. Someday, she would have to break that weak, submissive habit. But not tonight. Tonight, she bubbled with an adorable excitement at the thought of spending time with her bestie. That was a much better look for her than the deflation she had worn when she caught that same bestie lying earlier. So, Sasha decided to enable her. Just this once. Sasha brought her two girl train to a halt at the end of the ice cream shop's line. And just as she expected, the caboose crashed into her. Marcy yelped and sputtered and scrubbed the stray blonde hair off her lips. "I'm sorry, Sash," she squeaked. "Looks like I..." She halted as she took in her surroundings. "Oh, hey, we're here."
"Yep,"
Sasha agreed. "We sure are." A small smile tugged at the corner of her lip. "You didn't even notice the walkover, did you?"
"Nope,"
said a proud little space cadet. "From my perspective, we basically fast traveled." was all Sasha gave in response for a moment. What exactly were you dreaming about on the way here? Something with a song, it sounded like. The question caught Marcy by surprise, for a fleeting second. Then, for another brief moment, she drummed her fingers together and chuckled a dark little chuckle to herself, like some cartoon supervillain. And then she looked up, and she was a sparkling ray of sunshine. Nothing, she declared. Nothing at all. Sasha's smile grew warmer, if a bit more tired. She rolled her eyes and said, Forget stars, Marmar. You need to learn a thing or two about lying. But when her eyes returned to Earth, Marcy wasn't where she expected. She had zipped a few paces ahead and gasped at something. Oh my gosh, Sasha, look! She squealed. They've got 7 scoops of orange sherbet called the Wyvern Orbs. Get it? Oh, and frozen cookie dough topped with pink frosting and sprinkles they're calling donut bites. Is the whole menu like this? As Marcy rattled off items chalked onto a big blackboard, Sasha gave her destination a look. The little parlor, one epic scoop droop, had come with rave reviews from its small, dedicated audience. It had the highest quality, the fans claimed, at reasonable prices, with no filler. And its whole menu was, in fact, like that, for better or worse. But despite the cold cred and the warm weather, the ice cream shop had only a small, modest line. It was buried between several chain restaurants, a popular farm-to-table family joint, and a trendy new gay bar. The little thing simply struggled to stand out. The cloying pop culture reference's name probably had something to do with it, too. Sasha couldn't imagine that nerdy ice cream place was the first place on most people's lists if they were trying to impress a date. Unless, of course, their date was a particular sort of person. This is the coolest place ever! Marcy chirped. Great call, Sash. Sasha smiled down at her beaming companion. Glad you think so, Marcy. Do you know what you want? Marcy asked. I definitely know what I'm getting. I don't, actually, admitted Sasha. In truth, she found most of the menu too esoteric to picture, but she knew better than to ask Marcy about the references. As she tried to imagine what an absolute toffee field looked like, though, the sound of jingling change caught her ear. She turned back to Marcy and frowned. The girl had produced her change purse and begun scrambling coins. Sasha often grimaced at the sight of it, even though its appearance usually meant that she was about to have something purchased for her. In truth, it was more of a toy than a coin purse. The stuffed green butterfly, with its googly eyes and waggling tongue and hollow chest for storing trinkets, looked like something of a small child would carry. Someday, Marcy would be embarrassed to recall that she used to pull that thing out in public. Someday soon, hopefully. While her friend furrowed and counted, Sasha turned back to the ice cream shop and confirmed a fear. As the line ahead of them dwindled, Sasha saw that most of the eatery staff were members of the St. James High School cheer team. Did you decide yet? Marcy chirped from behind. Whatever you order, I bet you can get exact change for it. But Sasha didn't respond. For the moment, she was spacing out. Behind their customer service faces, Sasha could see her elder counterparts seethe. They tugged at the collars and the sleeves of their gaudy cosplay uniforms and winced every time they said the canned greeting. It must have been a shock to them to have to do any amount of work in an ice cream shop in the middle of September. They were the school system's apex predators, and that night they were being poked by proverbial sticks. And Sasha would rather she and Marcy not become their new chew toy. Ordering nerd ice cream like it was the coolest thing ever might go unmocked, but paying in change pulled from a baby toy was tempting fate. I'll pay, declared Sasha. The sudden pronouncement put a pause in Marcy's jangling. Soon, though, she gathered her wits and waved off the idea. Don't be silly, Sash. I'm the one who suggested we get food, and Tierding's been paying off lately, so... I'll pay, Sasha declared again. She let just enough edge into her voice to be understood. Once again, Marcy paused longer this time. Sasha saw that odd look for a few moments, like she was being appraised, but it passed quickly. All right, Sasha, Marcy answered. She finally stowed that dreaded butterfly in her backpack. When she looked back up, she remembered to add, thanks. Sasha smiled and nodded. Marcy never did need much reminding. No problem, Marmar, she said. The girl spun her father's debit card between her fingers and looked up to see she had been just in time. Welcome to Epic Scoop Droop, recited a weary cheerleader, where everything's 20% cooler. What are you rolling need on? After they received their orders, the girls had no trouble finding a place to eat. The parlor had an ample outdoor seating, and they had their pick of arrangements. Marcy made the final call, and when she plopped down on a semicircular bench wrapped around a large table. It was likely intended to seat a whole party, but there weren't any whole parties around to protest while the pair hogged it. Sasha set her notebook down a safe distance from her ice cream. She had decided on something she was supposed to call a banana splinter. In the world of non-nerds, it was a hunched-over banana surrounded by four scoops of vanilla, each topped by a caramel turtle. She didn't know or care what the reference was supposed to be. She just knew the abundance of carbs would be enough to keep her stomach quiet for a while. Marcy, meanwhile, had opted for something called the Tri-Froze. If nothing else, it was elegant in its simplicity. On top of a novelty sword-hilt waffle cone sat a scoop of mint ice cream, topped by a scoop of blue raspberry, topped by a scoop of strawberry. Taken as a whole, the dish actually looked quite appealing. But it was a calamity in the making. Marcy could scarcely handle a popsicle without losing it, let alone a tower of scoops. And even beyond that, Sasha could see cracks in the cone. As she studied Marcy's ice cream, though, Sasha felt the sensation of being watched. She looked up, and sure enough, her companion stared back at her. "So," Marcy intoned. Her voice was calm and steady, and Sasha saw an odd glint in her eye. But after a few moments, it became clear that she didn't have a whole sentence lined up behind that lead. "So?" asked Sasha, as she decapitated a turtle. "What's up, Marcy?" "Oh, I was just wondering, Sash," she began, "if you've seen anything interesting lately." She kept her mask up abnormally well. "You know, any TV shows or movies or cartoons?" And then it slipped. "Any anime?" Sasha chuckled over a bite of banana. Finally, it clicked together. She knew she had recognized that song Marcy was humming. "As a matter of fact, yes," Sasha replied. "I saw a pretty good anime recently." Marcy's eyes lit up. Sasha could see excitement threatening to boil over already, but for the moment, the other girl kept a lid on it. She stopped and stared and minced words until a coherent sentence formed. "Would I happen to know it?" Sasha grinned, more to herself than Marcy. She wondered how talking about a certain anime had become her friend's evil master plan, but it wasn't worth asking. Instead, she decided to play along.
"I would think so, yeah. You did recommend it to me, after all."
Marcy was practically vibrating in anticipation. Technically, Sasha hadn't narrowed the field much, since Marcy recommended her so many series. Many, many lines of questioning crossed her furrowed brow. And Sasha spoke up again before she could start stammering them out. "It was a cool little show," she meandered, "about a bunch of girls in school." She drew each word out and watched as Mount Marcy grew closer and closer to exploding. "And they were all friends, but some of them were rivals." Part of Sasha's vagueness extended beyond a desire to tease her friend. The series she described had a name she found too embarrassing to say out loud. "And they had swords," she added. "And they fought each other."
"Was it Starlight Girls Magic Musical Theater Academy?"
Marcy squealed at the top of her lungs. Warm laughter poured out of Sasha to such an extent that she had to stab her spoon into a scoop to keep from dropping it. Marcy joined in too, after a bit of her nerd stupor ebbed away. When all her giggles were out, Sasha looked up and met her friend's gaze. She could feel her tired smile return. "Yes, Marcy, it was that one."
"Well,"
Marcy began, calmly enough, "what did you think? Did you love it? Who's your favorite character?"
Her excitement grew with each syllable. What was your favorite episode? And how good was the music, right? Who? Pause. Sasha said, with a wave of her hand. And to her credit, Marcy paused, mostly. She sat there, frozen mid-gush. Sasha could tell from the twitching of Marcy's fingers and the sparkle in her eyes that the dam wouldn't hold for long. But she only needed a moment to get a thought in edgewise. The anime Marcy so adored won Starlit Girls Musical Theater Academy. Had shocked Sasha with its quality. Her otaku friend had recommended it to her in the strongest terms, calling it vital viewing and important. Normally for Marcy, those terms secretly meant sad and boring and low on fights. But this series was an exception. The story followed a troop of girls attending a prestigious theater academy. By day, they practiced song and dance and studied theatrical styles from across the world. And by night, they put on magical girl costumes and sword fought each other in the school basement to determine who got the lead role in the big school play. If Sasha could say nothing else about it, it was high concept, she said aloud. But really interesting. I was surprised there was so much fighting. Marcy hung on her every word, threatening to boil over at any minute. I love the costumes, Sasha said, earning herself a little giggle from her companion. And most of the characters were super cool. Sasha clicked her tongue and thought of how to phrase her next thought. I also liked how, they fought each other and learned lessons about themselves. Sasha scratched the back of her neck and tried to ignore how stupid that sounded out loud. You know, in these types of shows, they usually fight a new monster every week and learn how to eat their vegetables or whatever. It's a very mature series compared to its peers. Marcy offered. Sasha nodded. Marcy did always have a way with her words when it came to her interests. Yeah, the cheerleader agreed. Super mature. Before Marcy could interject any further, though, she pushed out another thought. There was something kind of weird, though, she said. Marcy quirked an eyebrow. I know they're in theater school and all, but it was like a bit much that they sang and danced while they fought. And just like that, the dam burst. Well, you see, Marcy explained and explained, the surreality of the theatrical fight segments is one of the show's key charms. It's an obvious iteration, some like me would say, is an evolution of the iconic impressionistic duels from the 1997 classic writ. Sasha had a rule with Marcy Rance. Check out as soon as the date dropped. That rule had proven its use over the years. And saved Sasha from learning mountains upon mountains of mind-numbing trivia. And when she was at the names and dates stage of gushing, Marcy never noticed anyway. As her friend babbled on, Sasha saw that she had been right. The girl's ice cream stack wobbled with every new gesticulation, and the cracks in its foundation grew ever deeper. Sasha sighed and fiddled with the bottom of her own ice cream mortar. She shouldn't make a habit of this, she knew. She was going to turn into Anne at this rate. Someday, Marcy was going to need to learn the hard way to look out for herself and stop living in La La Land. But until then, she had friends. Sasha slid the extra Sunday tray she had ordered across the table and waited. And the way that Tokyo Tower is like the representation of the protagonist's dreams, that's like such a cool visual reference to another genre landmark from 1998 called Oh Marmar, Sasha crooned. To no avail. And the sequences where the industrial machinery manufactures their costumes in front of the audience eyes is like an obvious visual metaphor to the earth to Marcy. And really, the ending is just a perfect rebuttal to the postmodern angst that's been swirling around every Magical Girl series since the Marcy! Sasha called. She jabbed her friend square in the chest with an extra spoon, just for good measure. Finally, Marcy came to. She looked around as if she had just woken from a dream. First, her eyes examined the crumbled cone in her hand. Then, they glanced over to the pink, blue, and green globs of ice cream now scattered in a magically manifested tray. And finally, she traced the path of the spoon between her ribs all the way up to her friend's arm. "Whoa, thanks, Sash," she said, as she finally took the offered utensil. "Good thinking with all that," she said. "Boy, I'm lucky to have you around." Sasha grinned, and something warm tickled at her cheeks. "Yeah," she murmured. I guess you could say that. Just then, another light clicked on in Marcy's head. She jabbed awkwardly at the mint scoop of her newly made sundae. I've been doing all the talking, haven't I? Oh yeah, Sasha confirmed. More than enough for the two of us. Marcy chuckled and looked back up at her friend. Sorry about that, she said. Starlet really spoke to me, and, well, you know how I can get. Sasha nodded. But I don't want to hog the whole conversation, Marcy continued. I want to hear your view. The girl clicked her tongue and looked up at the sky. Now, where did we leave off? Sasha shrugged, and after a few moments of pondering, so did Marcy. Well, I guess we can just wing it. So, who is your favorite character? Oh, Myla, easily, answered Sasha, without a second's pause. She was basically the highlight of the show. The blonde expected aggrievement, and maybe another wave of gushing, but instead she received confusion. Marcy's brow furrowed, and Sasha watched her search her mental archives for far too long. If the girl were better at lying, Sasha would have thought Marcy was pulling her leg. You really don't remember the best character? Sasha asked. You know, the one who's pretty, tough, super elegant, kicks everyone else's butt, has two swords. Finally, Marcy fit the puzzle together. Oh, she exhaled. So Myla is what they call her character in the English dub. Sasha sucked in a breath, but mentally dusted off her Marcy impression. Yes, Marcy, it is. I know everything's so much more meaningful in the original Japanese, but hey, Marcy called from behind a pair of pleading hands. We don't need to get into that again. Good. Marcy chuckled away some of the tension. Anyway, I thought Myla would be one of your faves. What did you like about her? Sasha clicked her tongue and looked up at the sky. Some people called Los Angeles the city of stars, but on that night, there were none to be seen. Light pollution left the sky a swampy, miserable shade of pink, and drowned out any starlight. Sasha searched for a focal point to stare at, but she came up empty-handed. She would just have to think without one. Myla was a great character. She was tall, well-spoken, and effortlessly beautiful. Her statuesque composer, confidence, and refined mannerisms made her seem more like a grown woman than a teenage girl. She was the queen bee of her school, and, barring a few basement sword duels, her reign went unchallenged. No one dared question her, because she was just so commanding. No one besides the protagonists, of course, because that was how stories worked. Everything, the girl finally said. Everything about her was so cool. Sasha didn't peel her eyes from the vast pink void, but she knew Marcy was listening. She was so tough, and so far ahead, and so, I don't know. Sitting there, trying to crystallize a thought into words, gave Sasha an appreciation for her friend's ability to bluster. I know her fights were so great, though. I can't believe she actually beat the protagonists at first. Oh, I know, Marcy finally cut in. Best setup to a final boss fight in recent memory. That was enough to give shape to an idea. That's the thing, though, Sasha said. The heroes fought with her, but she wasn't, like, a bad guy. Her eyes searched and still found nothing, but the thoughts kept flowing. It would have been so easy to make her character the villain. Like, she's clearly everyone's boss, but she never has to throw her weight around or remind them. Sasha stabbed her spoon into some poor turtle so she could gesture. She has like an aura around her. All the other girls turn their heads when she enters the room, and they always ask her opinion on theater stuff. But like, even when she says something harsh or tells someone to do something different, they just accept it. They don't act like she's wrong or that she hurt them or forced them to do something that they didn't want to. Sasha realized she had run out of breath at some point and inhaled. Marcy mercifully waited for her to finish. I guess that's what happens when you go down the magical basement and beat everyone at sword fights. They just know not to be difficult. Sasha sighed. Her eyes still couldn't find anything to focus up in the sky, but she managed a speech after all. It was just a little unrealistic, though, how they kept treating her that way even after she lost. Marcy digested Sasha's words for a few long moments. Sasha supposed she wasn't used to being on the receiving end of an anime rant, Eventually, though, she spoke up. I think you... Marcy began and halted. I think I have a different interpretation of that character, if you'd like to hear it. I'm all ears, said Sasha, still gazing skyward. Well, for one thing, Marcy said, I don't think Milo was really the boss of the other girls. She was more like an inspiration to them. Sasha pursed her lips as Marcy went on. She always worked the hardest at practice. She projected all this confidence, but she wasn't smug. She stood up for others when things weren't fair. Even when she criticized or challenged others, they knew that she was trying to help them improve, not put them down. Marcy drummed her fingers on the table as she finished out. She never had to force others to treat her the way they did. And it definitely had nothing to do with the sword fights. That aura she had wasn't fear or dominance or power. It was the other girl's respect. Sasha chewed over Marcy's words and smiled. That's a really good way of putting it, she said. A lot better than mine, she didn't say. As she gazed up at the sky, Sasha finally caught something she had missed before. Far off in the distance, in the defiance of pink muck, twinkled a bright little star. The teen smiled a little wider and murmured, Inspiration, huh? Also, she was totally secretly dating her understudy. Sasha choked on her own spit. What? That's crazy! The absurdity of the notion finally pulled Sasha's eyes back to earth. Not everyone in anime is gay, Marcy. Sometimes people are just, like, really close rivals. Marcy looked back at her with a smirk befitting the least convinced girl in the world. Rivals who show up together before everyone else and leave together after everyone's gone. Rivals who dance aggressively towards each other every day. Rivals who stare intensely at each other the whole time they eat lunch. Sasha could feel her cheeks heating up.
Yeah,
she finally replied. Not even in the safety of her own coping mind did she sound sure of her answer. Her efforts earned her a snort of laughter from Marcy.
Well, maybe you're right, Sash.
She not really conceded, but I thought it was subtext. Sasha crossed her arms and pouted, and wondered why exactly Marcy's shipping had chuffed her so much.
Well, it wasn't, said the stubborn teen.
After a moment of thought, she managed to give form to her grievance. If Milo was going to be gay, she wouldn't have just let it be subtext. End of discussion. There was no force behind the proclamation, but Marcy honored it anyway. She sat for a few moments, thinking in silence, and then her eyes met Sasha's.
Say, Sasha, she wondered, what did you think of... what would her dub name be?
The, pink one.
Oh, Catherine?
Sasha said, her nose wrinkled.
She was the worst.
Really? Marcy asked, as if she was genuinely surprised that Sasha didn't like such an awful character.
Yeah, really. She might have been the worst part of the whole show.
A silence fell over them. Marcy didn't feel the need to vocalize her request for elaboration. Her eyes wandered loudly enough. So, Sasha looked down at her shiny black dress shoes and thought. Catherine was a spoiled girl from a wealthy family. She had pretty pink hair and an excellent wardrobe and a keen touch for cheerleading. But that was the extent of her charm. Every word out of the girl's mouth was a lie or a half-truth or a manipulation of some kind. She suckered and connived the other girls at every opportunity and foisted as much responsibility on them as possible. She was a wimp of the highest order, but she ecked out of several wins in the underground sword-fighting tournament through dirty fighting and trickery. In the early episodes, Sasha was worried she may actually win. Thankfully, though, in a group of strong personalities, her tricks always seemed to fail in the end. Sasha still relished the memory of Milo clocking her in her smug little anime face.
She was just awful, Sasha said. She just took and took and took and never gave anything back. Why does a rich girl need to con her friends into buying her tea?
Sasha kicked at the ground. All she did was tear the others down and make them doubt themselves, just so she can get one over on them in magic fighting. The girl frowned. I don't know how the others could put up with her.
She wasn't all that bad, Sasha.
Marcy returned.
I mean, she was kind of bad, but, well, she was mostly harmless.
The other girls could stand up for themselves, so she usually just ended up making a clown of herself when she tried to mess with them. She thought for a moment and added, "Plus, she did a great job of helping... what would her name be? The blue one. Catherine was Catherine was instrumental to her growth." Sasha laughed. "Oh, you mean Fran? Boy, she sure had a funny way of helping her." Sasha's eyes all but bored a hole through her shoes, while her thought parsed through that particular relationship. Fran was tough and sporty and tomboyish. She was an odd fit for a high-class ladies' theater school, but she performed surprisingly well. She had to fight tooth and nail just to be there, so she could be with her childhood friend Catherine, who had breezed through admissions based on name and wealth alone. Despite their long-standing friendship, Fran was the foremost target of Catherine's manipulation. "It was ridiculous that those two were even friends," Sasha said. "That little pink geek was clearly holding Fran back. I was so excited when they had their big breakup fight," she went on, smiling at the thought of it. "And then Fran actually started winning battles, like she always should have." Soon enough, her smile became a grimace. "I can't believe she actually forgave Catherine at the end. I wouldn't have." Marcy let her friend's rant settle before she offered a careful response. "I think there were some layers to their friendship that I might have caught, which, you mean subtext?" Sasha shot. Despite her friend's tone, Marcy snorted. "Well, yeah, but more than that." The girl gathered her thoughts and continued. "Their relationship was an outlet to Catherine. Her family held her to incredibly high exacting standards and..." "Oh, boo-hoo," Sasha cut in. "That's her problem, not everyone else's." As she frowned down at her shoes, the sensation of being watched had bored into her cheek. She looked up and saw that, sure enough, Marcy stared straight at her. She gave Sasha that same appraising look she had before. "What?" Sasha asked to cut the sudden tension. "Is something on my face?" Marcy realized what she had been doing, and then forced a chuckle. "No, no," she said. "Nothing like that." With that oddness done, Sasha turned back to her melting banana split. She swallowed a whole turtle with a soupy bite of vanilla. Marcy simply poked at hers, though. Sasha could almost swear her eye glinted. "So, you're firmly anti-Catherine, then?" she asked. "Mila is more of your sort of character?" Sasha nodded through another bite. "The sort of character whose costume you'd draw yourself wearing?" Sasha choked again and narrowly managed to avoid spitting ice cream everywhere. "What?" she squawked. "No, I haven't done anything since I was, like, 5. Once again, Marcy wore that mortally unconvinced smirk. Her eyes traced a path to the notebook on the table. "You sure about that, Sash?" Sasha slammed her hand onto her notebook. Definitely not because she had to hide anything. Then she drew it a little closer, for no reason, while Marcy's eyes glinted and glimmered, and little snickers spilled from her lips. Sasha finally took the book and crammed it into her overfilled backpack for safekeeping. Her cheeks were burning, and the knuckles of her bald fists were white. She was seconds away from having to remind a certain someone who was allowed to tease who in this friendship. But in the nick of time, a submissive pair of hands shot up. Hey, Marcy pleaded. "It's nothing to be embarrassed about." Sasha heard something genuine in the tone of her voice. "I do too, you know." Sasha took a deep breath, and then another, and when she blew them out, all of the steam from behind her cheeks went with them. Sasha didn't bear indignity lightly, but this was the first time Marcy had dealt her this kind of treatment, and if there was ever a night to enable that behavior, it was tonight. She made a mental note, though, not to let this become a habit. She could see relief in Marcy's eyes when the last of her fury faded off into the night. "Oh, really now?" Sasha crooned. "You do it too?" Marcy nodded, so the blonde went on. "Well, now I'm curious. Who's your favorite? Whose costume are you wearing?" Marcy smiled and turned her own gaze skyward. "I thought Nana was the most compelling," she murmured. She really elevated the whole thing. There is a dreamy sort of quality to the girl's voice, and her grin stretched all the way to her eyes. Sasha almost felt bad for the response she was about to deliver. "Who?" she asked. Marcy snapped out of her spell and looked back at her friend. "Oh, right, the names. She was, Marcy thought for a moment, but she couldn't conjure up the description. Instead, she held her hands up and mimicked the shape of distinctive, ridiculous anime hair.
Oh, duh, Sasha realized. You mean Nancy?
Yeah, Marcy chuckled. Nancy. She went back to stargazing into the mostly starless void. She was cool, Sasha had to admit. Definitely a great villain.
Yeah, Marcy chirped. Wasn't she just... Wait, a villain?
Once again, Marcy's head left the clouds. She fixed her friend with an incredulous look. Sasha, she was super sympathetic and, like, definitely the most tragic character on the show.
Yeah, Sasha said with a more firm tone. And, like, crazy. And evil.
Marcy didn't have the smirk this time, but once again, she looked wholly unconvinced.
None of the girls were villains, Sasha. That was kind of one of the themes of the show.
She turned away again, while the corner of Sasha's eye twitched. Sasha often bowed to Marcy's anime knowledge. The girl had a knack for reading into series and putting into words things Sasha had never considered. But Sasha couldn't abide by that cold, dismissive tone. Not when she knew she was right. On the surface, Nancy seemed a sweet character, the kind that no one would have a reason to dislike. She always had a smile on her face, an answer to a question, and seemingly endless energy. She had a dorky sort of earnestness to her that won over all of her classmates. She adored every aspect of their surreal, magical sword-fighting school year, and she lived it to the fullest. When a new problem manifested, she always seemed to have an answer. When someone needed a friend to confide in, she was always conveniently around the corner. In retrospect, it was terrifying.
Marcy, she trapped her friends in freaking anime time loops just so she didn't have to grow up.
And? Answered an unfazed Marcy. They didn't know. Sasha's mouth gaped.
And that makes it okay?
Yeah, actually, Marcy said to the empty sky. They never experienced the loop part. No harm, no foul. From their perspective, the other girls are just living the best year of their lives. Sasha could barely believe her ears. Marcy said goofy things all the time, but never something so off. The strangeness of the situation and the nagging wrongness spurred something in the back of Sasha's mind. For once, that night, the words came easy.
And then they stopped existing, Sasha said. All their growth, all their progress, all their hopes and dreams just vanish.
With every word, Sasha's confidence grew. And then they have to start again, all because their so-called friend thought their little world would end if everyone grew up and moved on. Her words earned a wince from the anime expert. Her eyes still skybound and locked onto something. Sasha looked up, but she couldn't see any stars. Instead, Marcy's eyes seemed to trace the path of a departing plane.
She just loved them all so much, Marcy finally replied. All the adventures they had together that year, all the fun stuff that they did, even the death-defying sword battles.
Her cold tone was gone, along with her certainty. Still, she continued.
Their lives are never going to be like that again. She couldn't imagine saying goodbye to them.
Sasha felt herself cooling off. She sucked in a deep breath and replied. If she loved them, she would have wanted them to grow. The air had chilled to a point that she could see her words float out in front of her. Things can't stay the same forever. People have to grow up sometime. Marcy's plane must have disappeared from view. She looked over at her friend and sighed. Yeah, she conceded. Maybe you're right. She looked down at her ice cream. And maybe Nana was kind of bad, but I guess I just feel sorry for her. Sasha would have never imagined that getting a win over Marcy in the anime knowledge department would feel so hollow. She had intended to make up for deflating Marcy's excitement with the nerd ice cream trip, but somehow she managed to do it again. It just wasn't right.
Hey, she got better, you know, Sasha offered, after the protagonist beat her up.
Somehow, that didn't raise Marcy's spirits. And it wasn't really the whole truth, Sasha realized after a moment. The show's heroes weren't the ones who got Nancy to stop being crazy. Sasha smiled to herself as a whole train of thought lined up. There was one thing above all else that seemed to make Marcy happy when it came to anime, and it was staring her in the face. Hey, Marmar, Sasha intoned. There's another character I want to hear your opinion on. That was enough to break Marcy's gloomy trance. She looked up at Sasha and tilted her head in silent question. What did you think of June? Sasha asked. Before the name barrier could become an issue, she added, you know, the student government representative. Marcy failed to stifle a snort of laughter. Already, Sasha was off to a good start.
Yeah,
she said. I can't believe that's what they call class reps in English. She shrugged off and began to ponder Sasha's question. For once again, her gaze turned up as she considered the character in question. What is there to say about her? Marcy began. She often produced comically specific factoids about obscure plays, and she quoted Shakespeare at the most random times. The girl sighed and dug deeper. She was laughably physically weak to the point that she passed out the first time she trained with Myla. Something tinged her voice as she went on. She was the first obstacle the protagonist beat, and she was the first one eliminated from the tournament because she lost all her matches. Even though she got to bring a bow to a bunch of the sword fights, basically she was a complete nerd. When it appeared her friend was all finished, Sasha interjected. You're selling her way too short, Marcy. She was way more than a nerd. Marcy pursed her lips. She didn't look over, but Sasha could tell she was listening. Even more than the protagonists, Sasha explained. June was the one who wanted to grow the most. She dropped all those facts because she was already studying for a future in theater college. Sasha picked at the remains of her meal as she went on. And she may have passed out that one time. It was because she was trying to work harder than her body could handle. By the end of the series, she was able to keep up just fine. Marcy weighed Sasha's character reading as she went. Eventually, she ended up nodding along. And she may have gotten bumped off the tournament early, but that doesn't mean she was a loser. Even after she lost, she still kept grinding. Even if she couldn't win the leading role, she still wanted to get better. Sasha smiled as she neared the important part. And she did actually win one, remember? Marcy's brow furrowed as she scanned the sky. Wait, she did? Yeah, Sasha replied. It was after the credits of that one episode, but it counts. You know, she beat Nancy in the loser's bracket. Marcy cupped a hand to her cheek.
Oh, jeez, I almost forgot that happened.
I don't know how you could, Sasha countered. It was probably one of the coolest moments in the show that Myla wasn't involved in. The girl watched her friend carefully as she began to paint the picture. You remember how it went. Nancy hadn't really learned her lesson. She wanted to slink her way back into the tournament so she could reset time again. Marcy's mouth was a tight little line, and her eyes searched the sky. And June was just fighting to prove that she was better than she was yesterday. And even though Nancy was crazy strong, and she could overpower all the others for all those time loops, June managed to hang in with her. Marcy followed along with her friend, and in the corners of her mouth began to tug upwards. And then June outsmarted her at the end. She changed the song she was singing in the middle of the fight and picked a prettier one. And Nancy wasn't used to change, so it caught her off guard, and she lost. And then she gave her that little speech, Marcy cut in, about how they would all have even better adventures in the future because they'd be better people. Something wistful crept into her voice, but her eyes stopped searching. They fixed on something, off in the vastness of the sky. Something with a fixed location. That was a good scene, wasn't it?
I thought so,
Sasha replied. She hadn't even gotten to her punchline, but her little speech already seemed to have worked. And then they held hands and walked off together. She added just for fun, how's that for subtext? A deep chuckle from Marcy melted into a peal of laughter. Soon Sasha found herself swept up in it, and the two laughed away any lingering funk. Marcy peeled her eyes from the sky and met Sasha's. You know, it's pretty blatant when you spell it out like that.
I thought so, Sasha said.
I can't believe you, of all people, missed it. After a few moments of calm silence, though, Sasha noticed something else Marcy had missed. Don't forget to eat your ice cream, by the way. I didn't grab that extra tray just so you could watch it melt. Marcy's eyes flitted downward to the fading scoops in her bowl.
Oh, crud, she muttered. I've really been daydreaming, haven't I? Or night-dreaming, at this point.
Sasha frowned at her own miserable, half-eaten dessert.
So have I, she said.
She felt around in her pocket and grabbed her father's debit card. I can get more. It's no big deal. No, Marcy piped up. It's fine. She swiped her spoon across the peaks of all three scoops and tasted them all at once. I'll take the L this time and try not to space out going forward. A lopsided grin pulled at one side of her lips. At least not when I'm doing time-sensitive eating. So, just stay in chat. Sasha thought on it for a moment, and stowed away the credit card. Somehow, Marcy's suggestion sounded better than fresh ice cream. And so Sasha stayed, and they chatted. They ran up and down every thread of Starlet, and when they had worn it out, they moved on to other shows, and then to games, and then to rumors and myths and hopes and dreams. But eventually, as all good things did, their night drew to an end. Long after their sweet treats depleted, and the air had grown cold, and their conversation topic had somehow become school, Sasha's phone began to buzz with annoying frequency. She clicked on her screen and saw message after message imploring her return. She also saw that it was far too late for a pair of 13-year-olds to be lingering on the streets of LA. I think we should call it, Marmar. It's getting late. Yeah, it is, Marcy concurred. Even if I were actually studying right now, I'd be pushing my curfew. A chill wind blew, and Sasha shivered as she rose. The crowded sidewalks had dwindled in the wake of the sudden cold. They were less of a hassle at this hour, and more of a danger. Do you need me to walk you home? Oh, I'm gonna take a taxi, Marcy told her. The girl reached into her backpack, and Sasha heard a familiar jangle. Cabbies don't mind if you pay in change, you know? For some reason, Sasha found it hard to meet Marcy's eyes, at least until the other girl laid a hand on her shoulder. I'm glad we got to spend time like this, Sash. It was really fun. Marcy's smile was small and warm, and it reached all the way to her eyes, and it was contagious. I'm glad too, Sasha told her. We'll definitely have to do this again sometime. After a moment, she added, on a day I'm not trying to avoid home. Marcy's smile brightened, and her eyes slipped closed. That sounds great, Sasha. And then one eye peeked open, because you need to read on the library's code of conduct before you try chilling there again. One single crackle escaped from Sasha's throat. Well, I'm definitely not doing that. So, my place it is. It's a date, then, Marcy said. A vague, unspecified date set sometime in the future. She giggled. I'll be looking forward to it. And when she opened her eyes, she saw Sasha standing there, with both of their ear garbage stacked in her hands. She wasn't tapping her foot or anything, but she was waiting. Good night, Sasha, Marcy told her. Good night, Marmar. And with that, Sasha turned on her heel and didn't stumble at all. Marcy thought she was lucky. As both girls went separate ways, neither could resist the urge to look upwards. That night, under the vast Hollywood sky, they both followed paths lit by a twinkling star.